Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, April 26th. I'm Ray Graff. I can say now without hesitation that spring is here. Things are sprouting, mainly plants. It's our gardening show today, and oh, we are lucky to have, well, we're lucky to have anybody, frankly, but we have guests in the studio, and we have Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery, Gardener Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery, and Fred Breglia of Landis Arboretum. We welcome your gardening calls right now. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Now, this is a popular program, so if you have a green thumb, use it to dial your phone right now, 800-348-2551, and you can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. The gardening show begins after the news. Good afternoon, and it is Vox Pop on WAMC. We're back. It's our live call-in talk show. The number is 800-348-2551. Today, one of those great things about spring, it's the gardening show. And joining us today, Bob Graves, horticulturalist and co-owner of Fadigan's Nursery in Latham, New York. He is a regular guest on this program. Always great to have him here. Fred Breglia is director of the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York. Greg Ward runs Ward's Nursery, a lawn and garden resource in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. The number to call if you have a gardening question on this, our regular gardening show, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. We don't get to all the emails all the time, but send one in early. You got a shot. The number is 800-348-2551. Gentlemen, boy, am I glad to see you.
It's great to be here.
Oh, it's so great to have you here.
Happy to be here.
You have no idea how wonderful.
Spring has sprung.
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
All at once.
Which we sort of seen coming.
Yeah, the trees are all primed and they are just jumping out into leaf.
We have a weather fellow who he records all the weather every month and then he tells everybody. And so I'm anticipating a very, very delayed coldest April in a while.
Okay, can we not talk about weather?
No.
At this point, that would be great. No. Feel free. I'm kidding.
But of course. You know, in the last 5-6 days, it's really turned around. I think we were talking about the silver maples being in bloom the last time we were around because they popped in February and stayed in bloom the whole time. And it took until now for the red maples.
The red maples are prime right now, especially the Capital District.
Now, these are two trees that usually bloom within 10 days of each other.
Yeah.
And it's been 8 weeks.
I looked at my grass last week and said, I won't have to mow this for a while. And boy, this afternoon,
it's coming up. Close.
It's starting to green up.
That's good.
It certainly is. Yeah, the red maples, like you said, a lot of people don't realize red maples are named for a red flower that they get, not red leaves. And this time of year, and this year, it actually looks better than normal.
They really look good.
They look really, really good.
Yeah. I look forward to a good season. Good planting season. Get out there in the dirt. Greg Ward, what did you bring here? What is this?
Oh, well, I brought you a little lemongrass.
Yeah? What do I do with this?
So I am not a chef, but tomorrow's Food Friday.
That's what they tell me.
Right.
I mean,
so
in theory, it is.
Hope so.
You could bring that up then.
Okay.
But you use it in various recipes.
Yeah. And you can just eat this stuff as
you
it
can.
Is.
You can. Usually it's sautéed or allowed to kind of, you know.
Does it taste like lemon? If I were foolish enough to actually try this right now?
Very mildly, there's a little hint of lemon there.
Well, thank you for that, and we'll leave it here in Studio A and see how long it lives.
It's not a perennial, so you would keep this in the garden just for the summertime. You can harvest it all summer long. It actually can take a little chilly weather, but a really hard freeze in October will do it in.
So we might wait a while to put it in the ground.
So you would want to wait a little while to put it in the ground, and then it would be, or keep it in a container all summer, and then you can try bringing it inside.
Well, it's very nice. Well, thank you, Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery. Bob Graves is here from Fadigan's Nursery and Fred Breglia. And our number is 800-348-2551. All right, let's go to the phones. And Trish in Poughkeepsie. Trish, you're first.
Hi. I got a jump on spring. I bought a potted rose about a month ago and kept it in the garage because it was too cold to put outdoors and plant it. And it sprouted, and the sprouts are very pale, yellowish, and I was wondering, should I clip them off? I have put it out about a week ago when the weather was finally warm enough that wouldn't kill it, and the sprouts have only grown longer, and they're trying to trend toward green, but I'm wondering if they're going to succeed. Should I clip them off?
They're definitely going to turn green if you've gotten through this last bit of cold weather. You know that you may have some little singed ends, but they'll definitely turn green. You could consider shortening them rather than cutting them entirely off. But if you haven't planted it, I would certainly plant it
first. Oh, I have planted it.
Great. And I would just wait another week and make a determination then.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Trish. We appreciate the call. And over to Millie in Bennington. Millie.
Yes. I've got two questions.
Okay.
And that is, what's killing our apple trees? The leaves fall off in the middle of summer and no apples, and this happened 3 years in a row, and they look like skeletons.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, it's a disease. It's a fungal disease. You probably have two potential diseases that are actually acting on that defoliation process of that tree. The primary culprit would be apple scab, and the good news about this is that it defoliates, and one of the keys that you said is that it defoliates sort of like that midsummer, end of summer sort of time. So from a health standpoint, it actually doesn't hurt the tree too much. If it happened in the spring or early summer, it'd be really detrimental to the health of the plant. But since it happens later, and that's the normal cycle of this disease, it doesn't hurt the plant too much. So that being said, there are some things you can do to help control it. The raking of the leaves is a cultural control. You can get rid of all the inoculum. In other words, the spores for this year's infection have already been dropped and they're on the ground, unless you are really diligent about getting those leaves up. And if you were, that's going to be less inoculum, but otherwise you're going to see some more of this going on. Now, the weather, You know, I was told not to talk about weather on this
no,
show.
No, I'm
today.
Kidding. Go ahead. But, we have to talk about the weather. It's a sore subject at the moment, but go right ahead.
But the weather conditions for the year also play a role. So cooler temperatures, more moisture, especially when the leaves are actively growing and out. That's going to be more of a problem.
We had a lot of rain last year.
Last year was really bad.
Often with these things, if you get a lot of rain one year, it's worse the next year, even if it doesn't rain a lot the next year, because as you say, there's so much inoculum around. Right. And really what you want to do if you're serious about it is to spray it with a fungicide when the leaves come out, maybe a few times during the season. Fungicides are preventative, so you have to get it on the leaf before it shows up. And there are some good organic ones that you can use. Sulfur works well for that. But it's probably going to be substantial this year because it was so bad last year.
And we're even at a point where, you know, horticultural oil
has some fungal control. It's also a good insecticide this time of year.
Right.
It's very safe.
And that's something you can be doing today.
Yeah, and that's something you could put on an apple tree and still eat the apples?
Oh, the sure. Oil's no problem. I mean, that's if that's all you get sprayed on your apple tree, that's a natural organic product, and it doesn't have any – it's not a pesticide. It actually acts by smothering materials, smothers insects, smothers eggs, smothers fungal spores.
Okay.
So it's not actually actively killing. So that one, you know, kind of a general rule is if you see that kind of problem and you want to eat the apples – that is definitely a good one to put on, kind of annually. Also, raking up those leaves and getting them off site throughout the course of the season as they fall off. Don't compost them. That'll be another thing. You may have a little bit of apple rust on there as well, and that's a fungicide that's a fungus as well. But the things that we talked about would also could help control the rust.
Millie, you said you had a second question.
Yes, and that is we got a lot of big pine cones come down, and I'm wondering if they're still moist and like that, I can throw them out. And they will reseed somewhere like they do naturally in the forest. Is that correct?
Well, sure. You know, the little seeds are contained in those cones. So assuming they're viable, which they probably are, that actually would be a way to reproduce the plant. Now, in typical areas, you're not going to get a real heavy germination rate. From what I've seen from cones, a lot of times it's a mixed bag of how many seeds will actually germinate and be viable.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's in an area where they're going to get mowed, you'll never see the little seedlings. But you could definitely collect some of the seeds and sprinkle them in an area where you'd like to, or just toss the cones there. And my guess is you would probably get some.
Well, that's good.
Wouldn't expect a lot.
Well, Millie, thank you for the call. And let's quickly, before our first break, head over to Marta in Cooperstown. Marta, you're on.
Hey, I moved to a house which has old lilac, not very old, lilac bushes planted along the north side, and they've gotten so tall and spindly, reaching for sun, that all the flower heads end up like 15 feet above, so you can see them, but you can't smell them. And I can see from the way the bushes, they grow, that about at the 5-foot height, they were pruned once, or maybe when they were planted, that was the height they were. So I don't know that I can prune them now to bring the flowers down to, like, nose level, or do I have to wait till the end of the summer? Or what's your advice?
Well, so what it sounds like what you're saying is someone once cut what you have now at 5 feet and then they resprouted. Does it look like there are multiple branches?
Yeah, so they're tall and thin. They were always tall and thin, but now they're even taller and thinner, and they haven't gone horizontally at all. They're all vertical.
And then no new growth coming out of the ground?
No, nothing closer to the ground.
That's just too much shade, don't you think?
Probably is. Yeah, so you could start over as the previous owners did and cut them down. But when would that the best time for that be, Fred?
The ideal time, actually, assuming that your buds have not opened yet on the lilacs. Nope. I'm assuming right now they're kind of swelling up and getting kind of fat, but they haven't opened yet.
You can sort of see them, but they're not open yet.
Yeah. So actually, for a rejuvenation pruning, which is what Greg is talking about, you actually want to do that now. Like, you could do that today.
Good.
And you can cut it back pretty dramatically. I mean, you could take 2/3 of the shrub down.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, you certainly could make a radical cut. The best way to do it would be to try to – that's why they had asked you if there's any young growth, because ideally you'd like to remove the old cane and let the new growth kind of take over and make a new plant. But if you don't have any new growth, then the only way to proceed is to rejuvenate it. Otherwise, you're going to keep a really tall, lanky plant.
And in that much shade, they're never going to be wonderful either, because lilacs really like a lot of sun.
Yep.
They're
going to
stretch
it down. I've never seen one up so close against the north side of a house.
Not the ideal plant.
Didn't know what they were doing. Now, do I need to feed them anything? What do they like? Do they like acid or alkaline soil?
They like alkaline soil and just the general organic fertilizer broadcast around the root system this time of year. And that's actually a generally good thing right now. I mean, that's a really ideal time to put fertilizer down. If you haven't done it already, you could certainly do it today, tomorrow, the coming weekend. And general balanced, complete fertilizer, ideally an organic variety. Organic ones tend to feed over a longer period of time. They'll feed from spring all the way through fall. And also, before we let you go, just remember that when you do cut the lilac this year, a radical cut, you will not get flowers from this year. But they will be back next year. And then normally it's right after they bloom, ideal time for pruning.
All right,
Marta, rejuvenation.
We have to take a break here. That was Fred Breglia. Bob Graves is here as well. And Greg Ward. It's The Gardening Show on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. The number. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Hadley Garden Center, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated for over 50 years, offering annuals, perennials, nursery stock, organic fertilizer, and advice. HadleyGardenCenter.com. New Scotland Physical Therapy, Slingerlands, New York, providing orthopedic, neurologic, and pediatric therapy services, now offering fitness memberships. NewScotlandPhysicalTherapy.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors. Serving the Northeast since 2001, StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. Studio KTM Salon Red Hook, specializing in all phases of cut and organic color, from corrective to fashion by stylist Kristen Marquette. StudioKTM.com. And from Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists, providing websites, branding, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond since 1996. iMediaConsult.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you. It's a gardening show. 800-348-2551 is the number. Fred Breglia, Bob Graves, and Greg Ward are here. And before we get into the calls once again, Fred, what's happening at the Landis Arboretum?
Well, you know, we've been talking so much about cold temperatures and stuff, and believe it or not, spring is here, and we are talking about spring plant sales at Landis Arboretum, and this year's plant sale is going to be May 19th and 20th, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m., 4 p.m. Of course, parking and admission free, as always has been. If you are a member, you can also come out on Friday, May 18th, 4:30 to 7 p.m., and we get sort of a preview party going, but that's for members only, but you can join night of, and and come on Friday, or free on Saturday and Sunday. And we are going to do a number of tours, demonstration lectures, both Saturday and Sunday. And those guided tours and lectures are, they're all predominantly almost all free as well. So visit our website, www.landisarboretum.org, for the complete details.
This is getting to be the exciting time of the year at Landis Arboretum.
It sure is. We really are gearing up now.
You won't get much sleep from now until November.
Yeah, with those two kids, I don't think I'm sleeping until another 18 years.
You make a point. Didn't you? Greg Ward, what's happening at Ward's Nursery?
You know, it's right now is everything is happening at Ward's Nursery, so it's a great, great time, you know, to sort of assess your gardening needs. If you have some problem-solving issues, hedging issues, pruning questions, ID questions. People will regularly bring us in items to help them identify so they can understand what it's doing.
You know, we did have a pruning question, and I think I threw it at Fred. My wife said we have this enormous burning bush, and she wants to really trim it back.
Yep.
And so she wasn't sure when to do it and how much that was safe to do.
As we discussed with the lilac before, doing it before it breaks bud would be, especially if you're going to be aggressive about it, would be probably the best time to do it. Cutting it in, you know, the 20% rule, 25%, if you're going to remove more than that, the burning bush would probably not respond as well.
Mm-hmm.
That said, in Massachusetts, you know, we don't mind if you just take them right out.
Well, all right, fair enough.
Yeah. And the reason for that is, just in case anyone was wondering, is that it is an invasive species, and it is listed as one of the top in New York right now, and no longer even sold in New York.
Oh, come on, we didn't plant it. It was there
in the whole state
now?
I'm not saying take them out on at will.
Don't accuse me. Hey, Bob Graves, what's going on at Fadigan's?
Well, Saturday at 10 o'clock at Fadigan's, I'm doing a program on critters.
Critters?
Critters.
All right.
Big critters, little critters, insects,
will this
animals.
Be, will there be actual live demonstrations?
No.
No?
No, we're just going to talk.
And what do you talk about? How do you get rid of the critters?
How to control critters.
And what do you do?
Well, it depends on the critter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything really that you don't want to talk about on the radio?
And there's lots of repellents.
Yeah.
There's lots of preventative things that you can do.
And when is that?
Saturday at 10.
All right. And that's at Fadigan's.
At Fadigan's.
And if people want to find out more, they go to where on the web?
Fadigan's.com.
Okay. This one came in via email from Doug. Gardening question. What can I do now to prevent weeds late in summer? That's from Doug.
Depends on where the weeds are.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. Pre-emergence right now.
In beds where you got mulch where there's nothing. Corn gluten's a great pre-emergent, organic.
It's organic.
If you're looking for your lawn, really good care of the lawn, fertilizing checking pH and that sort of thing.
Yep. We're always suggesting in the lawn right now, because your lawn isn't quite ready to mow yet, right, Bob?
Not quite.
Almost. Is a good raking, clean up the lawn, and then if you're interested in controlling those lawn weeds, corn gluten is an organic pre-emergent herbicide.
And the grass will be fine.
And
it fertilizes
as well.
About 9% fertilizer.
Yeah. So it only goes after a seed that sprouts.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
So if you are planting it around an area where you're going to be putting your vegetables
if your lawn has celiac disease?
Well, you know what? And
I
asked that question.
Is going to help that, though.
And this is corn gluten, not wheat.
So much for being a smart aleck. Subject heading, voles. This one's from Larry. How to deal with them?
Oh, boy.
Well, we want to make sure that we know the difference between a mole and a vole. And a mole is the one that typically makes the little mounds in the grass and the lawn. And it predominantly feeds on grubs.
Right.
And
that's a good thing.
Yeah, and not hurting plants. The vole is the one that we sort of, as gardeners and horticulturists, have the most problem with, because those critters, they have little teeth.
They are really destructive.
And they do go after plants. They don't eat grubs. They actually eat plants and plant roots, and they curdle even trees.
Yeah.
One of the biggest problems probably in the garden.
Okay.
So
there are repellents you can use, and traps work.
Yes.
Yeah. Mouse traps actually work.
Mouse traps work with peanut butter.
Careful to cover the trap so you don't catch something unwanted, like a sparrow or something.
Okay.
And what I usually do is you cut a container, like a plant container, in half and cut the bottom off, and then you create a little tunnel right over top of that.
Yeah, you can put a pot over it upside down.
Exactly. Yeah. So it comes, if you can find a hole, put it right in there, put a pot right over it, it'll come up the hole and
bam.
Yep, bam.
All right, this one is from Mishka. My neighbor and I have dogwood trees that have come out if he winter with bark. Hang on. Got to try to figure out what Mishka is writing here. My neighbor and I have dogwood trees that have come out if the winter with bark that alternates large splotches of orange and gray on the bark. Any thoughts? Is this good or bad? What to do if it's bad? Just a note to our writers. So
that's normal.
Check your
work. That's what I was going to say.
I think she's describing a particular dogwood, and that's the Kusa dogwood or Asian dogwood. And as they mature, as the trunks get bigger, they have a mottled bark that's very attractive.
Yeah, and it exfoliates, so it'll start to look like it sort of flakes off.
It looks very dramatic. It looks very worrisome.
So the orange and gray is not a problem.
Not a problem.
It certainly sounds like Kusa dogwood. And actually, it's the opposite of a problem. It's actually an aesthetic good thing.
Okay.
People buy it for the attractive bark.
All right, last email, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one's from Polly in Warwick. Any suggestions for a non-toxic method for getting rid of lawn ivy? Our lawn is covered, but I hate using toxic chemicals, which seem to be the only thing that works. And that's from Polly.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. So the first thing to think about is, why do you have the lawn ivy? And that's probably because of some traffic issue, some kind of damage to the lawn. Maybe the grass died out there, and the ivy, that gill is able to sort of fill in.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is, what happened there? You're going to want to maybe renovate that spot or those spots a little bit. It comes up really quickly mechanically with a rake, by kind of being a little vigorous. So as a using a non-herbicide, that would be the thing
to
recommend.
There is an organic iron-based spot treatment that you can use on that, but it's not available in very large quantities. But repeated applications of that would work, too.
Yeah, you can also use agricultural-grade vinegars, and they do sell products. There's one called Burnout or something along those lines.
And it won't hurt the grass?
It has vinegars.
No, well, it'll kill the grass.
It will kill everything that it hits, but it doesn't kill the root. So if you have a bunch of ground ivy, you can just sort of, as Bob had said, spot treat these areas.
No, that's
so
it's green though, right?
And it'll and then if
ivy is green.
It
What's
is
the problem?
And it mows.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the way I look.
That's
at
about
it.
All I
You're
got
easy.
Left.
You're
that's
easy.
All, that's all I got left.
You're
moss
easy, man.
And ivy. And I kind of like it. I think we have a cultural problem. All people want is grass.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you too.
You know, it's a lot less tension producing. If you say, "Oh, I got some ivy there. Oh, look at the moss. It's all green, beautiful."
And if you start to think about how the grass competes with woody plants for the same food and water that that those plants need, less grass is sometimes a good thing.
You see, and I knew you'd say that. All right, let's go back to the phones and Mona and Bern. Mona, you're on.
Well, first of all, Ray, I want to tell you how great your show was yesterday.
Well, thank you, Mona. I appreciate it. Let's not do it for a while.
It was really, I think you should do it all the time. I love that. My question is about my weeping larch.
Okay.
And I want to know, do I need to keep twisting that around? I've had it for several years. Do I have to keep doing things to it, or will it twist around by itself?
Well, you don't have to do anything to it. It was probably staked to a certain height and then allowed to sort of umbrella over. And it may have still one central leader that is heading off in some specific direction, or maybe it has split and has a few leaders now and is heading in a few directions.
Yeah, you can do pretty much what you want with
it. So just let it go?
So yes, if it's heading in a direction that is you're happy with, it's not going to crowd something else, then do nothing. And the day you change your mind, then you can just do a little pruning, and today's the day to do it if you want to.
Yeah, one thing to keep an eye on, though, is that if you see any uprights, in other words, it's a weeping larch, so they're kind of bending over and being pendulous. If they start to grow upright, occasionally you'll see an upright one. Those you do want to remove because they will take over the plant. Eventually, you could lose the weeping form and have an upright larch. So just be aware that I've seen that happen as time goes on. If you see any directly pointing up, they're not weeping, take those out. Sometimes if they're pointing up and you bend them down too, you can get them to sort of stay.
How tall will that get?
Actually, a lot of that depends on you. Like Greg had mentioned, it's sort of staked at a certain height. And a lot of times they stake them at those heights because that's kind of like where they're going to get. They're going to get a lot fatter and fuller, but it won't get a lot taller. It certainly would get a little taller as time goes on, but it shouldn't be overly much above that stake.
You shouldn't gain much height from what you have.
A lot of width.
Okay. Hey, Mona, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Bob Graves, Fred Breglia, and Greg Ward are here. It's the Gardening Show on Vox Pop, and time for Dennis in Del Mar. Dennis.
Yes, I have a tree question.
Okay.
I have a tree in my backyard. I don't know what kind of tree it is. but its leaves are small, and the fall has pods like pea pods. The phenomenon I noticed.
Is it weeping?
Is there a lot of foam coming down the side of the tree in the rain?
So
I've never seen it before.
Yeah. So if it are the leaves very small and lots of them on the same leaflet?
Yes.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I think
so it sounds
it's
like a locust.
Sounds like a locust.
And if they're very small, then it may be, Glitizia, which is honey locust.
Which would be my guess too.
Yep. And the foam is, we don't know what that is. Anyone have any guess?
Nobody knows
that?
What it is?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
I have an idea. Yeah, I've seen a lot of foam on trees over a course of 20 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what happens is it's literally just water either going into some rot area and coming back out another area. So I've seen this in trunk form where they actually gets down into the place, the union where all the major branches comes, and it goes down through the trunk. And it'll find a crack in that trunk, and it'll foam out. It'll just have a lot of foam.
So is it indicative of a tree that is not well?
Not necessarily, because I don't know necessarily it's coming out of rotted areas. It could just be literally, running down the stems of this tree, the branches, and as it kind of rolls down, you said during rain, a lot of times it'll gain momentum, and sometimes, it'll actually create a little foamy look to the water. It might be nothing more than that.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't be too worried about it. If it's coming out of a split in the main trunk, that tells me that you've got some interior rot in there, and even that may not be bad, but that might warrant something being looked at. But otherwise, I would say that the foam, you should see less of that maybe with the next few rains.
Okay, great. And Ray was very accurate in his weather forecast.
Thank you very much. Dennis, we appreciate the call, and let's go on over to Carolyn in Poughkeepsie. Carolyn, you're on.
Hi, you guys. I just have a couple questions about rhubarb. Ours has started to leaf out, and I put some wood ash on from my dad's fireplace. We didn't have manure for last fall, but we did the fall before. And I'd like to know what the balance of nitrogen, potash, and I'm not sure what the third one is that I could put on now. The leaflets are relatively small, but now they're starting to pick up speed. And I also wanted to know, would it be possible to separate off, even though they've started to leaf out, some of the crowns, separate them out a little bit because they
We lost you there for a second.
I haven't been able to get to it.
I think she wanted to divide.
That's okay.
When can she divide the rhubarb?
Okay, go ahead.
So in terms of dividing, you're at this place where the plants are emerging now. If you want a good crop of stems, I wouldn't advise dividing them at this point. Let them come up.
Okay.
You can harvest all the rhubarb you want for the next month there in May, and then sometime in mid June when you're done with that, dig them up and divide them. They're pretty darn tough, and then plant them out. That'll give you the rest of the summer for them to take. In terms of the fertility of the soil, you can do a soil test if you do want to know what you're missing by adding the wood ash. You've added the potash part.
Got to be a little careful not to put too much of that on. And that goes a long way.
And raise the pH.
Okay.
So you do want to be careful. We would all recommend applying a complete fertilizer, but making sure that it has some nitrogen in there. More than likely, if you do that, you'll be adding some more potassium. So you may be getting a little high with that last number.
Possible to do a little manure or compost at this stage?
Certainly, yeah, because that would probably be a good balance.
All right, Carolyn, thank you very much for the call. It's The Gardening Show. Greg Ward, Bob Graves, and Fred Breglia, the expert panel here today. And the number is 800-348-2551. And we go to Ellen in Sand Lake. Ellen, you're on.
Hi. This winter, the deer stripped several of my young rhododendrons, and I'm wondering if they can be resurrected, if I can save them, or should I just, dig them out and put in something else?
At this point, you want to wait and see what happens. Fertilize them and give them a little time.
Yeah. And when you say stripped, you mean ate all the foliage off of it, correct? Leaving
exactly.
You just bare branches.
Mm.
If that's the case and they didn't actually hurt the stems, you're going to have a brand new plant back this year. It'll guarantee come back. We've had the deer over the many years at the Arboretum violate an entry point into our rhododendron collection, and it's been during those times when starvation is getting pretty imminent and the snows have been really deep, and this year is no exception to that rule. this past year, that is. And they get in there, they will browse every single leaf off of those plants, everyone that they could reach, that is. And I've never had them not come back
full. Oh, good.
So good news is you're going to get, a new plant again. Bad news is don't expect any flowers, not this year.
No, that's okay. And one other question.
Sure.
Now, I have a front lawn, which I would like to change from being lawn to something better for birds and things. And is there some book to look at? Is there some type of plant that is good in this area for that type of thing? Or
so, yeah, often what people are doing are creating, islands within their lawn. You may still want some access along the walkways, etc. But, an herbaceous garden, something that will attract pollinators, will attract birds. Usually you're picking plants that are, pretty maintenance-free, pretty tough, pretty easygoing. A lot of them are natives or native selections. It takes a little work to get that going. You're making a garden, you're planting that garden, but once established, you cut it down once a year rather than mowing it every week.
Yeah, and you can Google plants for birds and you'll get all kinds of lists for it too.
Yep, and if you have decent soil there kind of already, at least halfway decent soil, the area that you want to turn into a garden, you could actually cover that with like a black plastic now or even a weed barrier. And all you're doing is smothering that grass before it gets a chance to grow. And when you get around to planting it, let's say, another 3 weeks or so when you actually start to install these or sooner. But give it 3 weeks or so and then the grass will all be dead. But all the roots will actually just break down and become fertilizer and organics to the soil.
Yeah,
it'll save you a lot of digging.
Don't want to do is go in there where the grass is green and rototill it because you'll have a mess. Try to kill the grass first with some black
smother
plastic.
It in advance.
All right, we need to take a break here. It's The Gardening Show. 800-348-2551 is the number. Greg Ward, Bob Graves, Fred Breglia here, and the home stretch is straight ahead.
Support comes from Watercolors by Edith Schutzberry, Massachusetts. Edith Hunsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. edith-hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons. grapesandgrainswine.com. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Specializing in distinctive eyewear featuring new styles for 2018, eye exams by appointment 518-459-2638. Assisted living at the Masry Residence at Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York. Providing seniors help with activities of daily living, friends, family, community, 518-689-0453 for information and tours. And from Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, announcing annual spring open house, May 5th and 6th, featuring flowers, seeds, and seasonal products. Open Monday through Sunday, 8 to 5. StoriesNursery.com.
What a pleasure to have these guys here. What a pleasure to have anybody here. It is The Gardening Show, and we have Bob Graves, Fred Breglia, and Greg Ward. 800-348-2551 is the number. Ray Graff with you, and one quick email, gentlemen, and then back, and we'll try to get through as many calls as we can here on the final leg of the program. This is from Amy. Subject heading is plant question. Well, good call, Amy. This one says, I was given a fig cutting 3 years ago in the fall. It overwintered in my garage. Well, but both of the last summers, the leaves got rust. I'm told that you can kill the music now, Zach, the engineer. That's great. Wake up. Good man. It overwintered in my garage well, but both of the last summers, the leaves got rust. I'm told it won't kill the plant, but how do I prevent it this summer? I keep it in a container on my porch. The fig cutting.
Well, I'm not sure it's actually a rust. There is a leaf, it's almost a little bit viral, I think. I don't know if you've ever seen that before on one, but the leaves get a little sort of orangey, irregular spot. I don't think it's moisture related. I think it sort of came with the plant. I've seen where it doesn't really affect the plant drastically. The plant goes along, it produces leaves. Yes, you have some spotting. So
I haven't had fungal problems with those too much.
I don't think there is a control. I think you're going to have to live with that.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. And my gosh, Yvonne in Great Barrington has been waiting almost a half an hour. You're on, Yvonne.
Hi there. I have a couple of Rose of Sharons, and I can prune them now, I take it, right? And how severely can I cut them back?
Yeah, you can prune them now. In fact, it's a good time to prune them because they're going to produce growth like an apple tree will and then form a flower bud. So if you're pruning them now, you're not losing no flowers. I say in general, 25 to 33% maximum removal. In other words, a quarter of the foliage is a good number. 33%, one third of the foliage would be a maximum cutoff number. So not more than one third, less than that's fine. And you can do a little selective pruning in the middle of summer, too, but you will lose some flowers during that period. But this is a great time otherwise.
Yeah, okay. I like to wait until the plants have started to warm up enough so that you have you might see a little bit of green starting to form on them, which is right about now, not doing it too soon in the spring.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, and could I ask real quickly, I'm going to transplant a holly. Do they need a lot of sun? It seems the leaves kind of look burned, but I don't know if that's from being desiccated from the winter, or is it they need more shade than they get?
They'll burn over the winter. What they really would like is morning sun so that you don't have the hot south or west sun in the wintertime. They will desiccate and dry out. But an east face where they get the cooler morning sun and not so much in the winter would be ideal.
Yeah, and less windy, a spot that doesn't have a lot of wind. That'll do more of the browning than the sun will.
All right, Yvonne, thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for hanging around. Another person who's been on the line for quite a while here is Irene in Latham. And Irene, you're on.
Oh, hello, everyone, and special thank you to Bob.
Okay.
Because he has been wonderful, answering every question that come in, and wonderful place too, Fettigan.
Oh, that's terrific.
Wow, okay. And everybody else is wonderful too, but I haven't met anybody in person, except for Ray. So I have a question about the very mysterious thing with one of my lilacs. I have other lilacs. The one is like more bushy that blooms every year, another purple, like more scraggly. But this is, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
This is a white one that I bought about, I don't know, like 12, 13 years ago as a small plant, and I think it had blooms. It's white, and the name of it was The Beauty of Moscow. Mm-hmm. So that was the blooms, and they were extremely wonderful, very fragrant. I don't remember if it bloomed the next year, but it hasn't bloomed since then at all. So after it just has leaves and their leaves, nothing. So maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I said, okay, I need to get rid of the sucker because it's just useless. So I cut it really low. It sprouted back. Now I have the plant again, and I don't know if it has buds. I can't tell. It has some little tight things, but I would bet it doesn't.
Okay.
Well, anything that you can...
Usually when a lilac doesn't bloom, it's because it's not in enough sun. I mean, that's the typical problem with those. So if it's not in full sun, you might want to pick it up and move it and just put it in another spot.
You know, it has enough sun. It really does, because I have other things that it's on the west side. It has afternoon sun.
Mm-hmm. I would still consider moving it. Sometimes plants will bloom better if they're moved.
Move to a sunnier location.
So Irene never fertilized it. Is that a bad thing?
Well, you know, sometimes it depends because the soil may. A lot of times, soils have enough fertility.
Lilacs are pretty easy to get.
Yeah,
along
as I say, so
usually.
You know, I don't think that's a major issue.
I know. This is what my experience has been with other ones. I never do anything with them, and they bloom.
Yeah. A few other things that I could suggest you could try. Is that when a lilac is growing profusely, lots of stems, lots of growth, it's not spending any time setting that flower bud. It just keeps sort of growing and putting up new shoots from the ground. So limiting some of those shoots, especially some of the younger ones, so that the older ones that are at the top of the plant already this year, if you don't have flowers, will get all the energy and will ideally mature into a flower bud at the top of those older, heavier stems, number one. Number two, you can also consider doing a little root pruning.
Yeah.
It's been in the ground a while now, right? And root pruning is a thing where you just go around the plant with ideally a sharp spade.
Almost like you were going to move it, but you don't.
Yeah, you dig into the ground.
How far from, well, you see, this thing has been in the ground for like 12, 15 years.
Yep.
But since I really cut it down to nothing, but it sprouted. So now it's about 5 feet tall, but they are thin. They're not thick. But maybe how far from the whatever it is growing?
You know, about 7 or 8 inches out from whatever is growing.
All right. Irene, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go on over to Mirav in Woodstock. You're on.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about hydrangea. I have two hydrangea plants that I got about 7 years ago. And they were blooming fantastically. And for the last 6 or 7 years, I get green leaves, beautiful leaves, but no bloom whatsoever.
Yep. You know
what color were the blooms when you had them?
One was blue and one was white.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Most likely that is because the winter kills off the flower buds for those varieties. Doesn't hurt the foliage buds. It just kills the flower buds. And that's really common with hydrangeas. This is not the reason why the previous caller was not getting blooms on lilacs, because they're really, really hardy.
Yeah.
Unlike hydrangeas, which some varieties are marginal only in the flower bud, and it's not uncommon to get a ton of foliage with no flowers on those varieties. So putting some protection around them in the winter, like burlap, to protect them from the cold temperatures is certainly one way that we've had.
Put some burlap around them. You may want to move them to a little more protected spot, but he's exactly right. Those flower buds just aren't surviving the winter.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551 on this gardening show. And Richard in Poughkeepsie is next. Richard.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear us?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you great.
All right.
So I'll try to be quick. Two questions. I have an older home in the city of Poughkeepsie with very large, beautiful rhododendrons, but they're so high you can't see off the porch. I'd like to know the best way and the best time to prune rhododendrons, if you can do that. And my second question, I'll just give them both to you. If you're growing in a raised vegetable bed, I've heard that if you grow tomatoes 1 year, you should lift the topsoil out and put in good new topsoil so the tomatoes will have enough nutrition. Those are my two questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
The rhododendron question is very similar to the previous or the earlier pruning question, whereas now is the great time to reduce them. You will miss, of course, the bloom time. So with rhododendron, I think you do have a choice of doing it a little bit later again.
You do. You could prune them after they bloom as well.
And you got a couple options with that rhododendron. You can trim it down, or you can take it right down to the ground and it'll come back, but it'll take years to look like much if you do that.
That last sort of rejuvenation pruning, which is right to the ground, is a very viable option for certain plants when you have virtually no lower foliage and you have a really lanky, tall rhododendron with just some top growth. Mm. You don't really have much to cut back to, in which case then the rejuvenation kind of right back towards the ground is the better way to go. And that happens with those really tall lilacs when they're just, you know, nothing but just a couple of big, fat, tall canes.
Yeah, my preference would be the rejuvenation, take it down some, and then if that's not adequate, you always have the option of going further.
Yeah, that's the 20 to 30% rule. You look at the plant, you remove no more than 20 to 30% from the top down, trying to leave, you know, some structure that looks interesting.
Okay.
Yep. Tomatoes and removing the soil, boy, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it sure does. Improve the soil.
Rotate
them.
Don't plant your tomatoes in the same bed. Get three beds or four and move your tomatoes
separated
around.
Separated by how many feet?
Well, if they're in separate raised beds, so say you had them, say each one was 4 by 6 and they were, you know, 18 inches apart, that's fine.
Okay.
You know, that's going to work.
Mix in some manure, compost, organic fertilizer, just improve that soil.
Okay, but
you don't have to remove it.
It'd be a lot of work for no reason. Yeah, just rotating those is going to make you have a lot of success with a lot less work.
All right, let's go to Linda in Salem. Linda, you're on.
Hi, Hi. I have a question about pre-emergence. Our house is surrounded by, within 30 or 40 feet, both front, side, and back, old maple trees. And so it's really, really hard to get grass to grow under those trees. The only thing we've had any success with is annual rye. However, we have a carpet of weeds, very strong, hardy weeds. And I was hoping to use corn gluten meal, if I could find it someplace, you know, just right now, early. But someone said it would interfere with the growth of the annual rye when we put that down later.
Sure. It's going to prevent any seeds from germinating. You know, when you've got heavy maples like that, it's going to be tough to grow anything under it ever if it's really shady.
So my guess is they're probably Norway maples.
So if you've got weeds, it's not that shady. You should be able to grow something there.
You could also limb the trees up a little bit too, maybe removing, if that's an option, removing a few of the lower branches, and that might let more, just enough light in there.
Don't use the corn gluten if you're planting seed. Will work.
What about the maples? They're all suffering. They're old, I admit that, but they're dying.
So what you can do with maple shade is not try to grow actually anything to actually create a mulched understory for that tree. This is, as you were just describing, you know, sugar maples, they get a little sensitive, especially as they're getting older. You know, with climate change, you know, it's getting a little warmer, so they would certainly benefit from a 2 or 4 inch layer of mulch under that whole area, you know, that is the drip line, or at least a third or so of that.
And what kind of mulch would you recommend?
I just like a bark, organic bark mulch. Like, I personally don't like the, I don't like all the dyed mulches. You know, they're colored up artificially. I also I'm not a big fan of the ground up waste pallets, because you don't really know what was in that mulch exactly. I'm a little picky with mulch, but honestly, it could be a good bark mulch.
A wood chip, if you're willing to look at the brightness of that, it could actually be a harvested, you know, brush chips that
just
got
recognize
ground up.
That if they are sugar maples, they have a lot of problems, pollution and temperature.
Well, the former caller was talking about the soil in his boxes, and I don't know where the soil in my boxes came from. Someone just brought it over and put it in them. Is there any chance that it's contaminated with old, artificial fertilizers or anything like that? Do I need to change the dirt out of my boxes and put organic soil in?
We would know. You'd have to test it. If you took it to the extension service, you could ask them about, you know, what might be in there. But it's just soil. I'm sure it's fine.
Okay, Linda, thanks a lot for the call. Let's quickly go over to Tina in Sheffield. Tina, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So each season I'm trying to remove a bit more of my lawn and replace with more garden. And I did hear the other talk you had about that island for herb garden. But I'm particularly trying to kind of follow the permaculture model and doing more perennial vegetables and fruits and things.
Cool. Yeah.
So I was disappointed. I thought I was going to plant some kiwi vine and pawpaw tree. Turns out kiwi's an invasive species unless you know of one that's not.
No. You know, that you don't – well, in Massachusetts, it is an invasive species, and it is something you probably should not be planting.
You mean kiwi fruit?
The kiwi fruit you get in the store is not the same one. That's a hardy form that you can grow here or used to grow here, but I would not recommend that.
Okay.
As for the pawpaw, though, that would work. It does grow in our zone. You do need a male and female plant.
And it's native-ish, native into Pennsylvania anyway.
Yeah, it might be a little marginal in certain areas around here where it's colder.
We have them in the area in the Berkshires.
We've got them at the Arboretum.
They work. They can work out.
In fact, we should have some in our upcoming sale.
Can they take full sun?
You know, we've been doing a little bit of reading. It's not something we're up on too much yet, but they prefer initially sort of a shaded sort of understory location, and then and then they create the canopy. So I don't see how you can do that in your front yard. I think you just have to, you know, wing it and plant them out there.
Yeah, we've got them living in full sun too, yeah, for years.
I think they do need a pollinator.
At the Arboretum, we do.
They need a pollinator.
So I think you do need to plant two.
You do. It helps to produce fruit that way.
All right.
So, is it technically a male and a female?
Not technically, actually. That's a funny one. It's sort of like apple trees and pear trees and cherry trees. They're monoecious, so they do have actually male and female flowers on the same plant, but you do not get, they do not self-pollinate well. So they do a lot better if you have another couple of, the joke is, you know, pawpaws do, you know, best next to mamas.
Hey, that's a good one to end the show. maybe you'll come back. Hey, if people want to find out more about Landis Arboretum, Fred?
LandisArboretum.org.
And Ward's Nursery, Greg?
Yes, wardsnursery.com.
And Fadigan's, Bob Graves?
Fadigan's.com.
This was great. Hey, guys, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Vox Pop. Support comes from Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine Exams Eye Care, Dry Eye Therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionXLEyeCare.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts. A family-owned business for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Thanks again to Greg Ward, Fred Breglia, and Bob Graves for joining us. Thank you for listening and for the great calls. I apologize if we didn't get to your calls. Ran out of time. It's a popular show. We'll do it again next month. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Deb Malik. Our producer, still here, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on Food Friday, the folks from SoCo Creamery in the Berkshires will be here to sample some delicious ice cream. Right now, stand by for news.